We are moving down to proposals. We have number 8. So Director Kirschenman, you are next in line for that. Are you ready to take over number 8 at this time?
Yes, ma'am.
So we will move directly into number 8 again, waterfowl hunting season. Tom Kirschenman, our Director of Wildlife, will remain with us.
Madam Chair, members of the commission, proposal in front of you in respect to waterfowl hunting seasons, and this particular proposal is specific to non-resident license allocations. We gave you some of the background and shared the information with you at your last commission meeting a month ago. If you turn to page 18 in your booklet, and then on the back side of 18, technically page 19, you will see the three areas where the 300 total licenses were recommended and where to be added. Those would have been under that column that says season/unit. It'd be under 00B. There would be 200 added there. And that's that statewide license. There would be under 00B, there's 50 added there, which would be in the north central part of the state. And then 00Z, another 50 there, which again is statewide, but private land only, for the total of the 300. A lot of conversations around this. Certainly appreciate the folks coming here today and all those folks that submitted written comments as well on this topic. We know this is one of those topics that always will catch a lot of attention. There's a lot of thoughts into this one. There are different philosophies and perspectives, obviously, when it comes to non-resident hunting, and in particular, non-resident waterfowl. One of the gentlemen that came up here even spoke to some of the history around the non-resident waterfowl, and in particular, the actions that were taken over multiple times, over multiple decades in the state legislature. And this is one of those topics that became so contentious that it ended up in the state legislature and is basically the only seasons that are in state codified law that dictates the number of licenses that can be issued for that respective hunting season. As described by the gentleman, there were multiple changes that occurred over the years. And essentially, though, if you look in the last 20 years, there have been no changes to the number of non-resident waterfowl licenses. When we talk about these non-resident waterfowl licenses, we're primarily talking about duck hunters. There might be a few folks that are using these licenses to also harvest geese, but by and large, the primary focus would be on duck hunting opportunities. One of the things that we heard today in testimony, we saw in some of the comments we have heard over the years, in particular, in respect to adding more non-resident hunting opportunities, would be that pressure, that competition, the crowding, just by increasing those total number of licenses of non-resident hunters. So again, in this case, the recommendation right now is to utilize the language that is in state statute that gives the commission the ability to increase the number of licenses on an annual basis by 5% or up to 5%. Important to understand that that has been in place for almost 10 years. And over that time span, not once has the commission or the department brought forward changes to non-resident waterfowl. So we understand that, but it has been in place for basically a decade, the opportunity for the commission to take such steps in increasing non-resident waterfowl licenses. Now, another important part that I do want to touch about is hunting opportunity. We've heard again from individuals today, those that were here in person, that have written comments that we have talked to in the past. One of the key parts has been there by adding more non-resident licenses going to take away some of the opportunities from crowding or places to go hunting. I think it's really important that we have shared already this year with you as the commission and the public. We reached a new milestone in the number of access acres across the state at 1.48 million in our access program. But one of the key points to that, what I would like to offer though, is one component of those access acres are some of our special management units or special waterfowl management that we use up here in northeastern South Dakota in particular. Where that is an access program, we work with the landowner to essentially enroll their entire farm. Now that farm could be 4,000 acres, that farm could be 10,000 acres, whatever that might be. And then there's a payment structure based on the habitat that exists and a minimum acreage of habitat. But one of the key components of that program is some of those opportunities for waterfowl hunting to actually be able to go out in those harvested fields and set decoys, for example. So it provides some phenomenal waterfowl hunting opportunities for our folks. I just wanted to share that with you, that that is a piece of our access program that does exist as part of that 1.48 million acres that is made available across the state. One of the things that we have worked hard on since about 2018, when we did our game production area assessment, or the GPA assessment that some of you have heard about before, looking at what type of habitat projects, programs should we work on. One of the recommendation suggestions from some of our waterfowlers has been provide some more access points for waterfowl hunting on our game production areas as well. And we have done that by putting in more, what I would say, I'll say primitive boat ramps, i.e. from the standpoint of putting in a duck boat, a small duck boat, and having the opportunity. There's some places on GPAs where you have a trail all the way down to the water to where that ramp or that access point may be. We've been trying to do more of those types of things as well to provide some additional waterfowl access hunting opportunities across the state. And what I would offer to you is that doesn't happen just in the Northeast or in Eastern South Dakota. We even completed a few of those projects in Western South Dakota on some of our properties where you have cattail edges and opening up the spot so that waterfowl hunters have an easier opportunity to get onto that body of water to enjoy duck hunting. A lot of talk about doing more for the residents, and we certainly have resident waterfowl hunters as a priority as well. We've talked about how those numbers have decreased over the years. And one of the things that we have done, obviously, is access more. More waterfowl hunters out into the field is implemented work with the Central Flyway System or the Central Flyway Committee and the flyway system of implementing the two-tier waterfowl license, or some of you may recall being called the three splash, where waterfowl hunter that's either new or hasn't hunted for a while and does not have the keen skills, at least from the get-go, to identify duck species, have the opportunity to select a license type that gives them a bag limit of three birds, and it doesn't matter what those three birds are. But it gives them a real opportunity to get back into waterfowl hunting or to try waterfowl hunting for the first time as well. And another thing that we have been doing from the perspective of getting more waterfowl hunters in the field, especially in the eastern part of the state here, we have staff, conservation officers, biologists working collectively together and hosting and holding youth waterfowl hunts. Each year, we have some of our staff pull together waterfowl hunts that bring out young hunters, probably their first waterfowl hunt ever, and go through all the equipment and the decoy setting and going out and having the opportunity to harvest their first duck or two and then bringing it back and teach them how to field dress and all those different aspects of waterfowl hunting. So we continue to do more and more that we can to recruit new hunters to the waterfowl arena, because it is a phenomenal hunting sport and a great outdoor activity, and we'd like to see more of those folks do it. So Madam Chair and Commissioners, the background and the history of non-resident waterfowl, we certainly understand that. The 300 recommended increase in licenses falls within the state statute, which allows up to 5%, which equates to 300 total licenses between the various license types. Considering those licenses being scattered out in eastern South Dakota, or probably most likely across the entire state, we do not see that 300 licenses are going to have a significant impact on pressure or the competition. That might be a concern out there from some. Again, this is the first time that the 5% that's provided in state statute has even been looked at and considered by you as a commission. And so with that information, I will stand by to answer any questions that you may have, and we have no additional changes to the proposal from last month as well. So Madam Chair, I'll turn it back over to you and try to answer questions that you and the commission may have.
Very good, thank you. Any questions for Director Kirschenman? Commissioner Beese.
Commissioner Beese, so those 300 tags are broke down like 50 to a unit, then it ain't like you're gonna take 300 tags and and go hit one area. Is that right?
Madam Chair. So yes, Commissioner B. So if you look at the table and take the NRW-00B, where there is 200 licenses or additional 200 licenses proposed on the backside of that sheet, NRW-00B, there's 200 additional recommended for that unit. Then if you flip back to the front part of your page that has the maps, the bottom map there, the 00B is statewide. So that 200 would be scattered across the state anywhere that's hashed out in the gray color there, Commissioner Bees. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then the two other units, the NRW-00V with additional 50. Again, if you look at the map on the front, that would be the 00V on the north central, the blue colored counties. So that'd be 50 additional in that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 county area. And then the other 50 would be NRW-00Z, which on the top map is any kind of in that orangish color, basically statewide minus those other units. Does that answer your question? Yes. Commissioner Beeson.
Any additional questions? Commissioner White.
Commissioner White here. The question I had, I guess, in those three areas, what is the number of permits that they had previously? We're adding 300, but what were the numbers that we had previously?
Yes.
Madam Chair. Commissioner White, so for example, NRW-00B, which has the additional 200, again, is that statewide license. Last year, again, would have had the 3,725. And so it bumps up by 200. So you'll see the 2,022 licenses, that column, mm-hmm. That's what it would have been last year. Looking ahead to this fall, 2023 would be 3,925. So that increase of 200. And then the same with the 00V, be 500, bumping up to 550, and 250 up to 300. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
Thank you. Sure, yes. Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you, Director Kirschman. Quick question in regards to how many of these licenses would be valid on public land of the 300?
Madam Chair. So again, thank you, Secretary Roebling. If you look at, again, that table on the back of the first page there, so under the NRW-00B, the increase of the 200, those are available on both public and private land, okay? Then when you look at NRW-00V, the increase of 50 in the North Central, those would be available on private land only. And then the 00Z, the bottom row there, that additional 50, again, those are kind of scattered across the statewide. Those are on private land only. So 100 are strictly on private land. 200 would be both valid on private and public land.
Yeah, Commissioner Logan.
Just a quick question, Director Kirschman. Commissioner Logan here. How many were sold out last year?
Madam Chair, great question, Mr. Locken. So looking at 2022, the fall, and actually, I'm going to give you a cheat sheet for that as well. I actually had some copies printed off the number of licenses that we received as applications based on the number of sold, but in particular, probably the most highly sought after license is that NRW-00B, which is that statewide waterfall license that we're recommending to increase by 200. If you look on this table, you can see in the fall of 2022, we had a total of 4,959 applications for the 3,725 licenses. So the additional 200 licenses that are recommended, quite honestly, won't even come near what the number of applications that were submitted this last fall for that particular unit. But it would provide a few more hunting opportunities for those non-resident waterfall hunters. If you look at 00V, again, that North Central, in the first application or the first round of applications, there were 250, but eventually you'll see zero remained unsold. So they eventually all sold out. Other hunters picked them up as leftover licenses that were available. And the same goes for the Z licenses as well.
Mm-hmm. Director Kirschman, we heard from a handful of folks on this particular issue, as we should, because this impacts something they're passionate about. One of the gentlemen talked about the lack of communication from the department on the issue. How far did the department reach out to some of our waterfowl groups to visit with them on this?
Madam Chair, that's a fair question too. And we primarily had conversations internally as staff, and you know, we hear a lot of comments. Did we have an organized meeting with the Waterfowl Association or the waterfowl groups? We did not. That being said, Madam Chair, I would also offer up, when we have bring forward license allocations for elk, we bring license allocations for turkeys, deer. Not every time when we bring adjustments to license allocations or license numbers do we meet with other groups, organizations. Now, certainly we have opportunities and we meet and talk about items like this, such as when we're putting together a revised management plan or we're taking a new management approach, those things. Now, certainly understand the criticism of getting that for not meeting with them to talk about this. I would also offer up, though, too, had this been something that would have been more widely opened or a higher number of licenses, but the fact also that we have the 5% opportunity within codified law and that you as a commission can act upon, and looking at the totality of the number of licenses and not believing it's that significant of an impact out there. Both, it's not an impact biologically. We understand the social concerns about it, but 300 licenses spread out across a big geographic area. That's why we brought it forward as a recommendation.
Very good, thank you. Any comments at this time? No comments. Again, I do appreciate those that stepped forward. There were some things that were said that I appreciated when we talked about recruit, retain, reactivate. We heard Director Kirschman talk about the many things they are doing to do just that for our waterfowl hunters for tomorrow. And yesterday, at first I was unsure where to go with this, but after hearing some of the stats and information from the department, I don't think 300 will put much of a dent in. If you know, we can continue to raise those, I'm sure this conversation will become a little bit more intense, but at this time I do plan on supporting the proposal. So I would entertain a motion and a second. Yes.
My apologies. Director Kirschman, is there any plan to raise the number of resident licenses for waterfowl? Is that in the plans anywhere out there?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Bartling, I say no because there is no limited number of licenses for residents. It's unlimited, so there would not be any changes to the season structure for residents because they have unlimited opportunity.
Thank you, and I apologize. It's Commissioner Bartling here. I remember that now, Tom. These outfitters, the non-resident outfitters, do you see a great number of these 300, should this proposal pass, being taken up by non-residents who are going to use outfitters? I mean, do you have a feel for that?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartling, I think it would be safe to say that there will be some of those licenses that would, they can't be picked up by the outfitter or a guide. It still has to be a single individual apply for the license. But once they have applied and received the license, could some of those individuals go hunting with a guide or an outfitter? The answer would be yes. To give you an estimated number or approximation, I cannot give that. We just don't know the number of folks that do utilize those outfitters and guides that are out there.
Very good. At this time, we need a motion and a second. We'd entertain a motion. Commissioner Beese.
Commissioner Beese here. I'll make the motion to accept these. Driving across the state, you know, I live in West River out there, and I've never seen so many ducks and geese in my life. When I grew up there, we didn't see Canadian geese and a lot of ducks out there. I mean, they pass through, but we got thousands of them that are residents in Fall River and Custer County now. I mean, I think there's a lot of population out there now compared to what it used to be. You know, it used to be the fly zone only. They're across the state now. And that's my reason for supporting it. I think there's more opportunity and more birds here now than there ever been. And that's why I'm going to support the 300 added licenses.
Motion to support. We need a second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Locken. Any comments on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The proposal is adopted. Thank you, Director.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm going to turn the mic.